This is TurnbuckleTrash.net. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
I love video games and pro wrestling.
With three fans who know how to talk some trash.
None of these cross-eyed mouth breathers deserve to hear this voice.
I guess it's time to take out the trash.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and puppy dogs of all ages, it's time now for another thrilling, exciting, and almost non-boring edition of Turnbuckle Trash. And joining me once again is my buddy, my pal, Zane O'Mac. How you doing, Zane?
Dave.
Yes.
You know, I've always wondered something.
Tell me what.
You know, you've mentioned a time or two you come from our radio background. Yeah, right? I mean,
lots of years
in radio.
Lots of years. Oh, 45 years.
So, do you ever, you know, now that you're out of radio, do you still hear Radio Gaga? What is Radio Gaga?
It's all we hear is Radio Gaga and Radio Goo Goo.
Is that all you hear now still?
Yes, I hear Radio Goo Goo. I got to admit, you know, I don't listen to my old radio station. I don't. Yeah. I mean, there's some feelings there. I don't wish them ill will, but as I said that day I left, I wish them well in their future endeavors.
Yes.
Yes.
So, on to bigger and better and more important things.
Yes.
I had a wonderful idea. I'm almost home. I'm driving home from work, okay?
Okay.
And I thought, you know, I'm going to call Dave and talk about professional wrestling.
Awesome.
What a great thought, huh?
It's a great thought to talk professional wrestling.
To me.
And then after we get through talking, I'm going to be talking to Otto Von Klutch.
Otto Von Klutch.
Otto, and he is a great independent wrestler, getting getting a lot of publicity now. So
Tombstone Jr.
Yeah, we talk about his dad, Tombstone. We talk about that. And we also talk about him trying out with the WWE or being a part of a Monday Night Raw and a Survivor Series. So we'll talk about that coming up a little bit later on.
Speaking of WWE.
Yes.
Get the F out. It is E now.
Uh-huh.
Do you ever just get, like, face palm when somebody says, oh, is that the WWF? It's like,
the World Wildlife Fund?
Come on.
I hear
you're like, it hasn't been the WWF for like 20 years.
Yeah, they just don't know. They're just
Egypt. So WWE had a pay-per-view not very long ago.
Yeah,
called
this past Sunday.
Fastlane.
Almost as good as the NASCAR, right?
You know, Dave, at least NASCAR, there is some purpose to a boring race. I'm not saying that the pay-per-view was boring, but it was lacking in purpose.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we've often talked about is those last couple of pay-per-views that the WWE does before WrestleMania, a lot of times don't really mean a whole lot, do they?
No. You know, I've watched half of it. I don't know. I guess it didn't. I mean, the matches weren't super great. You watched the whole thing, so you tell me what you think. You go. Your turn.
Well, I think there was the one big question for me that I didn't particularly understand was what happened in the Big E match with Apollo Crews.
Now the roll up, I don't.
Yeah, and it didn't make much sense because the right way to, you know.
Yeah.
Like, what in the heck was going on there? I looked at my wife after the match and went, what? I just didn't understand it. And then Apollo attacks Big E and, you know, they're setting up WrestleMania for them, but still it just didn't quite flow to me. It just didn't flow.
And the match was a little slow. I don't know.
But I do like the character that Apollo is taking on.
Yeah.
And that outfit he's got on, the white and the kind of the really flashy green. Man, that looks good on Apollo Crews. I mean, that looks good. So, but I just kind of went, Oh, and didn't the women's tag match between Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax, the champion, Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. I knew that was just going to set up. All it was there for was to try to give a little more heat for Sasha Banks and Bianca in WrestleMania, and maybe trying to set up. It looks like they're trying to set up something to split up Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax too, with Reginald in there. And
I don't know. I don't like that tag team with Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax. I don't like it. What do you think?
I'm a Shayna Baszler fan. I really am. And I just think she's being wasted. I was thinking during that match, you remember when she first made the move from NXT over to Monday Night Raw, and she attacked Becky Lynch. And she bit Becky Lynch on the neck and all that. And that was about the time that Becky became pregnant. And so maybe that just kind of threw everything for a loop in the storyline. But I thought they could have played off that a little bit more with Asuka taking over the reins of the champion, and then Shayna Baszler maybe, you know, coming in. But that's okay. It's water under the bridge. Shayna Baszler, to me, is the best wrestler, pure wrestler, they have in the women's market. I mean, she can grapple. She, you know, she's a former MMA fighter. She trained with Ronda Rousey, and she's done MMA. She's done judo and everything. She can really go, and I love her attitude in the ring. And I'm just a big fan of hers, and I hope they can work her into a singles fairly soon. So,
you know, maybe this may be a topic for another day, but I mean, I've heard a lot of things, you know, on the back channels that like Nia Jax is not well thought of in the locker room, and not a lot of people don't like wrestling her because she's not safe. And like I said, maybe I'm going a little off topic here. I just kind of wanted to throw that in with maybe why I don't like her. I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of people are, you know, have been saying that she's not very safe, because there's been quite a few injuries when she's been in the ring. And, you know, that's neither here nor there whether she is or isn't. A lot of people would say, you know, it's just, you know, bad blood on our part. But there have been a few injuries when she's been in the ring with people. And who knows, you know, we're not in the ring to know. We just know what the dirt sheets say and what some of the wrestlers are saying, right?
Right, right. Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah.
But all we do know is Radio Goo Goo and Radio Gaga.
Radio Gaga.
On to other things with Fastlane. I don't know. I'm just really confused right now about some of these things, like, you know, why Fastlane is in existence. And even the last one, Elimination Chamber, like Elimination Chamber was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some cool spots. And, you know, Fastlane, I mean, there's obviously some decent matches and stuff, but like, I don't understand it. Like I would say to put that energy into a couple of good solid Monday Night Raws and have some really good, you know, matches on Raw and SmackDown. And really set up, you know, instead of using a pay-per-view to have, you know, Sasha Banks and Bianca get mad at each other, what's wrong with using a Raw to do that, or a SmackDown to do, you know, what's wrong with using a television program to do that? Why do we have to set everything up in a pay-per-view? Why does it have to be a special event? A title change has to be a special event. You know, there's no title changes on network television anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, part of that is one of the things that we enjoy is the WWE network. And we're going to get more into the WWE network, but I think that they invested so much, and I'm talking Titan Sports now, invested so much into getting the network together that they decided that they wanted to make all the big events happen on all these different pay-per-views that they were doing what did they do, about one a month now?
Yeah.
Sometimes more. And then they made a big deal that they're going to separate SmackDown and Raw. That lasted less than a half a year. And then they said they were going to take less pay-per-views. And then they added more with the event in Australia and then the events in Saudi Arabia. And now we've had the pandemic, and they've been doing all the pay-per-views inside the award-winning and critically acclaimed Thunderdome. And as you know, Zane, that we at Turnbuckle Trash, we are also award-winning and critically acclaimed in our podcast because we won the Dave's Voice Works Best Podcast on Wrestling Award. So we're award-winning.
Really?
Yes, we
really
did. Yes.
Wow.
Dave's Voice Works did give us that award.
Wow. Was that a cheap plug?
That was a cheap plug.
As we all know, Dave's got another podcast, you know. Dave's a radio guy. We've talked about that many times on the show. And like everybody needs to give Dave's Voice Work a chance. Give it a listen.
Yeah, it's called Radio Guy Reflections.
And you know who did the first interview on Radio Guy Reflections?
It was one of my friends, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think he's all right, guy.
Yeah. Yeah, Zane, you did that one. And, you know, we've had some other people on there. As we're going shameless plugs. And Jeff Katz is going to join us. And remember, Jeff was on Turnbuckle Trash about his world in wrestling. And we're going to talk about his career coming up later on. And we've got the creator of a syndicated program called The Daily Beetle Break. Beatles fan, he's going to be on. And we've had the Utah Sportscaster of the Year. And, of course, me.
Yeah, of course you.
Yeah, so, but anyway, you. That's neat.
So, one thing I noticed in this pay-per-view, and as of late, I wanted to get your opinion on, since, you know, you have all this time on your hands now. You are retired.
Yes, I am.
So you get to do, you know, things like look up, you know, random things and watch National Geographic and, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. But how come there seems to be how come there seems to be some of these guys that a year ago, 2 years ago were like really leading the charge are kind of doing weird stuff now? Particularly, I'm thinking of like Seth Rollins.
Yeah. Well, when Seth took time off for Becky and him had the child that they had, I think it took a little bit of esteem away. And now they're just trying to build him back up again. And then, you know, you have other storylines that come back in. And I was actually quite shocked when Seth made his return that he didn't come back as the opponent for Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. Because they're both on SmackDown. I was fully expecting that. And they might have done that as a swerve to us. But they continued the storyline with Seth as a heel, and now he's, you know, going up against Shinsuke Nakamura and Cesaro, who are both they're mid carders to upper mid card. But have you noticed on social media, and you don't do most social media very much anymore, but social media, there's been a lot of people like us that are big fans of Cesaro saying, let's give Cesaro more of a push. Let's put the belt on him. Put a belt on him as a singles competitor. And I sure hope they find a way to do that soon. Because I think Cesaro is just awesome.
Oh, yeah, dude. You know, somebody like Cesaro could really be a breakout. You know, like Becky Lynch?
Uh-huh.
You know how everybody wasn't expecting her to carry the belt like so as good as she did?
Uh-huh.
And then, like, all of a sudden when Becky Lynch got the belt, I mean, her popularity just went off the charts. And I mean, because she was just, you know, she was good, but you got to admit that when they put the strap on her, that she, oh, that sounded really bad. Mm-hmm. Wow. No pun intended for a female wrestler. Goodness gracious. When they put the women's championship belt on her. Get your mind out of the gutter, Dave.
Hey!
you know, her popularity shot right out.
And it didn't hurt when she got injured in the ring by Nia Jax, when Nia Jax busted her eye socket.
Yeah, that was awesome. And she took that like a champ.
Yeah, she did.
But, yeah, something like Cesaro, you know, why does it always have to be the same three guys that get the belt, you know? I'm glad Lashley's got it. Like, he deserves it.
Yes, he does.
You know, I was so wanted The Miz to freaking carry it into Mania, at least, man. Like, that's a huge missed opportunity because The Miz carries that he's got that stigma so good, you know?
Well, you know why they didn't keep the belt on The Miz? Do you really know why? Do you want to know why?
Because of Bad Bunny.
Because of Bad Bunny.
That's stupid.
But did you catch the Monday Night Raw when R-Truth is up talking to Damian Priest, I think it was, and he said something about Bugs Bunny done went bad. Oh, I love R-Truth. I mean, I do. He is hilariously funny.
That 24/7 title was meant for him, wasn't it?
It was. It's his as long as he wants to wrestle.
24/7, 48/7, 7/11, I-95 South European TV Championship.
You know, he's up to 52, I think, now, title reign.
It's so awesome. It's so awesome.
Yeah.
And he plays that the humor card so well. You know, one of my favorite things R-Truth did was the little Jimmy gimmick, you know, when he would talk to little Jimmy, and he'd come out and he'd smoke in the ring.
he makes people believe that he is that way, and you know he's not, you know, because you can't play that dumb and not be smart, you know. So
yeah,
he's and a great performer. I mean, he's always been a great performer.
Yeah, but yeah, Dave, I don't know, you know, some of these guys. I mean, so what do you think though, like? Who else would you put in that category of, I mean, but then there's also been some guys that are mid-card that have stepped up to, you know, like the Usos. I mean, they were kind of, you know, I wouldn't have put them up as a, you know, competing for the heavyweight title, but I mean, I don't know.
Well, you gotta look at, you know, what the research that these guys are doing. And sometimes I hate that term research. Because, like you said, when they gave Becky Lynch the title, when she won the title, people didn't think that it was going to go as well as it did. Then they had that thing happen when she got her eye socket busted, and she's in that ring, still fighting away, blood dripping everywhere. And then I'm just going to change that a little bit to an AEW subject, because we've seen basically the same thing happen for Dr. Britt Baker, DDM, because she got a busted nose in the ring, continued to fight, and she got a following going from a face to a heel right after that. And then did you watch the video I sent you of that hardcore match between her and Thunder Rosa?
I haven't watched it yet, and I don't know why I haven't watched it yet. I kind of forgot about it. And
dude,
I was reading somebody, you know, sometimes it's stupid. It's amazing how even the professional wrestling media sites are freaking phony, baloney, fake news, garbage anymore.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they were saying like how that match was controversial and how it shouldn't have happened. And I don't know. You watched the match, so you tell me.
Now, okay, I'm just gonna be upfront. I am not a fan of hardcore wrestling. I don't particularly like it. Occasionally, okay, the blood and stuff gets a little bit much for me. But Thunder Rosa and Dr. Britt Baker tore it up. I mean, that was, as far as a women's hardcore match or any hardcore match, was as good as any hardcore wrestling fan is going to watch. And I'm going to be interested when I talk to Chris a little bit later on in this program, because he's a big Jim Cornette guy. You know, he loves Jimmy Cornette. And Jim Cornette tore that match a new one. He hated it. He thought it was bad. He thought it was gimmick wrestling. And you know, I'm going to say this about Jimmy C, that he's got a brilliant mind. He was great in his day. He's still very good. If he would just grow up and stop criticizing everything that everybody does.
Yeah,
he's
got to
find something.
Right.
Yeah, it's got to be something fun that he's got to see and say, hey, that was great. But no, I don't think he ever says that something was good on anybody's wrestling.
If it's not his idea, it's a bad idea.
Yeah, I think so. But anyway, yeah, the match was incredible. So what I'm saying is you never know when something is going to catch hold. Now, I'm going to go right back once again to a WWE event when Jake the Snake Roberts busted Stone Cold's Steve Austin's lip. He goes and gets that stitched up, comes back to the ring, and he says, you go around spouting your Bible this and Bible that. Well, Austin 316 just says, I kicked your ass, right?
Right.
Is that and that went completely off script. It was Michael Hayes that gave him the line, I believe. But the next night on Monday Night Raw, there were signs up, Austin 316, Austin 316, and it became something huge. Now, would Steve Austin still be as huge if he didn't have that one little line that went completely off the rails? I can't say he would. I can't say he wouldn't because I'm a Steve Austin fan. But they never know when something like that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Nia Jax, my hole, my hole.
My hole!
You know, how much publicity did they get off that? So I wish they would give people a chance to have a belt and let them run with it if they can, and if they can't, find a way to take it off of them. But there are so many performers out there that deserve more recognition than they're getting, and I think that they get frustrated. They leave or they get released and they wind up someplace else. AEW Christian. I think that's one of the reasons Christian signed with AEW, because he knew that if he continued performing with the WWE, he'd never get the kind of recognition or chances that he'll get with AEW. So,
yeah, and that's a big name, you know. What was it when him and Edge were the Brood? The Brood,
with Gangrel,
Wasn't he part of that?
Yes, he was. Yeah, that was one of the first things they ever did.
Yeah, that was my era, man.
Yeah,
that was my day.
Uh-huh.
That was back in my day. Yeah. So I don't know, Dave. I don't know why they do what they do. We've questioned that multiple times, but Dave, I'm gonna shift gears here, and I'm going to completely. I mean, I'm shifting into reverse or something. Like, this is completely off topic, but it's just like, this is an ADD moment for me. It just popped in my head.
All right.
The WWE, I got a message from Robinhood, an exclusive message. WWE hit a 6-month high this week.
In their shares?
$60 a share.
Wow.
I bought my shares at 35.
Whoa.
I've doubled my money on WWE.
Can we go to Vegas now?
Let me tell you what. I got a dividend. I get paid dividends by WWE. Can you say you do?
No.
I make money off of people watching wrestling, Dave.
Cool.
I made 36 cents.
You are a dude.
That's 36 cents I didn't have a day before, though.
I hear you, bub. And now you're going to buy more stock? No, you're going to wait for a while, right?
I'll wait for it to see if it tanks. Not tanks, but goes down. I can't buy it high.
Now, since you're the stock market whiz, why did their holdings go up so much per share?
It was WrestleMania season, buddy.
That's probably it.
And then, advertisers are And I think too, with all this BS stuff ending and Vince announcing that Vince wants 45,000 to 50,000 people there
for WrestleMania.
Yeah,
you think they'll get it?
I think so.
I
think so. People are just clamoring, dude. I mean, look at like they're all worried about in Florida and stuff because people are tired of sitting at home, man. They're tired of being cooped up. They want so. That's why I told you the other day. I said. Or, well, one of our last podcasts, I said, this is a time for wrestling. You're going to see in the next, you know, probably years, 6 to 8 months at least, because people are going to go to a wrestling event because they haven't, there's nothing else, you know, because concert promoters and stuff still probably aren't going to do it. But Vince has enough stones that he's going to give everybody the finger and say, I'll do it anyways. And I don't care what you think. And so people are going to go, hey, you know, I want to get out. We got to go do something. Well, there's a WWE event 2 hours away. Why don't we go grab a hotel and at least – well, I don't watch that stuff. Yeah, but at least we can get out of the house and at least it'll give us – you know, we can go drink some beers and be stupid. And so then they're going to go and they're going to be like, oh, hey, this was actually really fun. Mm-hmm. And it's going to create another Attitude Era type following, and it's going to be nothing but good for everybody because AEW is going to benefit from it, all the smaller places, all the local ones, everybody's going to benefit from this. And maybe I'm wrong, I don't know, I don't have a crystal. You're the one with the crystal ball, so why aren't you predicting this stuff?
Well, as you know, I am retired, so I get to watch a lot of stuff and I research a lot of stuff. AEW was actually going to do a non-televised event that's coming up I think probably WrestleMania weekend, if I'm not mistaken, but they're actually going to have a live crowd there. And then there are some music venues that are starting to open up a little bit. In Salt Lake City, they announced the Vivint Smart Home Arena is going to have, you know, the usual amount of concerts, probably not with as big crowds, but one of our favorites, Alan Jackson's going to be there. And that's coming up this summer. And I think the Maverick Center, which hosted probably the last live wrestling event in the country, big-time event, which was an AEW event last year, and they are going to be having a few events. They're starting it off with the group Rain, which is a Beatles tribute. But I think you're going to start seeing stuff slowly coming back, and I think we're going to see what happens with WrestleMania week, with everything that's going on with WrestleMania selling tickets and all that. I'm going to be interested to see maybe a couple of weeks after that if we see an increase of COVID-19 cases, which I hope we don't, but there's still that possibility, you know?
Yeah. And you know what? There's going to be that possibility from now until the end of time.
Agreed.
And this isn't meant to be offensive towards anybody. I understand that we need to be kind and we need to be cautious. We've talked about this a lot. But my personal opinion is that we are adults. We take our lives every time we get into our car and drive down the road. We take our lives into our own hands. And if I go to a professional wrestling event and I get ill from that event, I have nobody to blame but myself. Mm. I can't blame, well, that in China, but I can't blame, you know, I can't blame Trump for all my problems. So I have to be an adult and, you know, and be a big kid I have to, at some point in time, we're going to have to take our lives into our own hands and take the risk of going to a live event again.
And you make a good point.
I don't know when, and who's, I don't know, you know, some people have different opinions on that and some quote unquote leaders, which I don't know how they get that term. That could be a whole nother realm on its own there. But you know, the some of the people
I guess, again, quote unquote, in charge, have different opinions and do things differently. Even our state, there were several states in the union that lifted their mask mandates right away. And, you know, for every five people that say Utah should follow those states, there's five people who say they shouldn't.
And that's very true.
So the governor put in a plan to gradually, you know, take the masks off and so I don't know. So who do you please? Who do you try? You can't, because they say you can please some of the people some of the time, the other people part of the time, but you can't please all the people all the time.
That's true. And I said this early in the pandemic. I know we're getting off on a little bit of a tangent here, but I said, you're not going to please everybody. There is no way on God's green earth that the leadership in this country, because we have so many different views, can please everybody. And these guys have got to do what they think is going to please the most people that they serve. Now, whether they're doing it for political reasons, for whether they believe what is right, but that's why I'm saying I'm glad I'm not a leader, because I'd hate to have to make that decision. I'm going with what our leadership is saying, because that's just me, but I do understand where you're coming from, too. So.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I think that we all, there's no reason, especially us professional wrestling fans like you and I, can't be respectful and get along with each other amidst all of it. So.
But I do have one idea as we're going to get back into wrestling here that you might have missed out on with the increase in your shares, okay?
What?
The WWE Network moving to Peacock.
Oh, hell, you're right.
Because you start thinking about that move, that the WWE is going to have less expenses, and they're moving a lot of those expenses over to Comcast. It's going to be less of a move for them, and that means they have the opportunity to make more profit. And I think that's one of the reasons you saw a big jump in the share prices.
Oh yeah, and they don't have to market that. It's a win-win for, because there's a lot of wrestling fans, man. I mean, people may think that wrestling's dead, but it ain't.
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen those WrestleManias. Was that 2 or 3 years ago when they set that record for events and there was over 100,000 people there?
Oh yeah.
And I mean, if you could draw that kind of a crowd, that's unbelievable to a sporting event.
Uh-huh.
Unbelievable. I mean, that's more than the Super Bowl. That's more than the biggest sporting events in any sport at all.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there was a time in NASCAR. Remember back, it probably would have been, I don't know, in the 90s maybe, when NASCAR was like that. I mean, my heck, you used to see those people flood into those stadiums, they built those big stadiums, those big super speedways, but NASCAR is all but dead now. I mean, they priced themselves right out of existence.
Mm-hmm. It is tough. I had a friend go down to Las Vegas this year. They didn't get their tickets until Thursday because of the pandemic, but they still went down and had a pretty good time with only 25% of the capacity allowed into the Las Vegas Speedway. So, yeah, we've talked about the pricing a little bit. I mean, Chris is one where how long will people continue to pay these prices? And I say as long as people pay these prices, you're going to have ticket prices still going up. But yeah, there's got to be a tipping point someplace. So,
well, what is it to get into Disneyland now? $1,000 a day or something?
Jeez, it's unreal. So. I've never been to Disneyland, so I wouldn't know. So,
well, nobody's perfect.
I did stay right next to Disneyland in a hotel, but never went. I watched the fireworks display and everything. But anyway,
that's completely irrelevant to anything we're talking about, Dave.
Yeah, I know. That's why we get paid the not so big bucks here at Turnbull.
Yes,
Track.
And that's why it's our show. So we get to we get. That when Dave's at the helm, he leads the ship. Hopefully, it's not into an island or something, or rocks or something, or Titanic or something.
Well, one thing that you talked about how wrestling is, you know, has a possibility of getting really, really popular again. And one of the things is how it's getting to be more mainstream. You've got all kinds of different programs on right now. Coming up on April the 18th on the A&E Network, they're going to have a new biography series on A&E with professional wrestlers, and also something called WWE's Most Wanted Treasure Series. And you've got Young Rock now that's on NBC, which I love that show. It's funny, it's poignant, and the premise is, I don't know if you know the premise, but it's in the future when The Rock is being interviewed as a presidential candidate.
Yeah.
And it is so well done. Funny stuff.
I forgot to text you and tell you that they, so it's on Hulu the day after it airs.
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh. I've been watching them. That is the funniest freaking thing I've ever seen in my life.
And they have actors portraying Randy Savage, Andre the Giant, the Wild Samoans. They had a Ric Flair on there, and of course The Rock is on there, and
the Iron Sheik is so funny.
Oh, they it's great stuff. And the Iron Sheik, was on the Food Network as a contestant on Worst Cooks in America one time.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah, so my wife was the one that recognized him. We checked it out, and yeah, that is him. So anyway, that kind of stuff, and then the Stephen Amell show coming up on, I think it's Stars that's going to be on, called Heels, and that looks like it's going to be a really good show. It's all about pro wrestling. So the mainstream, and I think people are really going to start understanding that professional wrestling is a performance. It is a very physical performance, and it's fun.
And it's an excellent form of entertainment.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and, you know, I was thinking too, like, just while we were talking, like, with that, that's a pretty smart move of them going to Peacock, because I'll bet you their viewership at least doubles, because people, you know, let's say you go to Peacock to watch The Office. I told you that there's several programs on Peacock that I like Yellowstone, The Office, Parks and Rec. And if you're going there and all of a sudden, you know, you're like, oh, Parks and Rec's over. What? WWE is on Peacock now? Oh my gosh, I gotta click on this, you know. It's been 15 years or whatever since I watched wrestling, so they click on it and they're like, holy crap, that was a good show.
And then
I forgot how fun that was.
And then they find out that WrestleMania is free.
Yeah.
Where I paid $50 for the All Elite pay-per-view, and now if you have Peacock already, there you go. You can watch it for free. And that's quite a deal, man.
It's cool. It's a, you know, for everything that's bad that's happening right now in the world, there is a lot of positive coming up on the other side. And I guess that's what we have to look forward to, isn't it?
You know what? That's why we live life. I mean, we deal Dave Denton's philosophy of life. We live for the good stuff. We tolerate and don't look forward to the bad stuff, but we got to learn to tolerate what's bad in our lives and live for what's good in our lives. Honestly, that's the way I have to go. There's plenty of BS going on in the world and in our personal lives, but boy, there's a lot of good too. And that's what I always look forward to, man.
That's what we have to focus on. And there's a lot of good in wrestling right now. You know, there's a lot of good programming come up. I mean, WrestleMania season is always our favorite season of the year. You know, everybody's like, Super Bowl party, you know. I'm gonna be like my neighbors and stuff, they invited us over for Super Bowl. I'm gonna be like, hey, I'm having a WrestleMania party. Do you guys want to come over? And I'm gonna see if I can get anybody to come over.
I think you should. And then the WrestleMania week, there's gonna be all kinds of things going on, including the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies, which will be on Tuesday night that week, and that's gonna be on Peacock. And then I think it's Wednesday and Thursday night. They're going to have two nights of NXT TakeOver, which I cannot wait, because they announced it this week. Tommaso Ciampa against Walter for the UK NXT title. Because I think both of them are phenomenal performers. And then you've got two nights of WrestleMania on top of that, including the return to The Fiend. Yes!
So, talk to me real quick about the two nights. Was that just, what's up with that? Why? Because usually it's one, you know, Sunday for like 27 and a half hours.
Uh-huh. No, they did it last year, that is. And they had some success with it. And I think this year they had already planned on doing it two nights. And now they're saying, well, let's give it a shot and see if we can get 40,000, 50,000 people in the stadium for a Saturday event and then turn around on Sunday and do it again.
Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah, and that's called business. I mean, you know, it's the business of professional wrestling. So,
oh, yeah. Wish I could go to Florida right now.
Oh, you know what? I would love it. I would love it, but... Yeah, you got to pay for the flight, and you got to go in and out and pay for the hotels. And you know, the ticket price is going to be pretty high, too. So
yeah, I would imagine. Vince has got to make some money. Dave, I sure have enjoyed tonight. I got to cut it a little bit short tonight because my wife's been bugging me. So, but my kid's in karate, and he forgot his belt. So I have to bring his karate belt to him.
Oh, okay. Well, good.
But really good. Good subjects and good topics. Let's think about some of these topics, you know, and let's expound on those maybe next week, or maybe I'll be up in your neighborhood, your neck of the woods this weekend. Maybe we could have a stitching session.
We might be able to do that. Yeah.
I'd enjoy that. Yeah. I would like that. Let's plan on that. And, okay. Well, Dave, great discussions. It's a good time to be a wrestling fan, and let's keep it up.
Okay. We'll talk to you another time then.
Thanks, brother.
Coming up next on Turnbuckle Trash, Otto Von Klutsch. He's an independent wrestler out of Las Vegas, and he's a lot of fun. And we're going to have that conversation with Otto next on this edition of Turnbuckle Trash.
Turnbuckle Trash is growing. Now, Turnbuckle Trash can be heard on Apple Podcasts, Breaker, CastBox, Google Podcast, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Spotify, and TuneIn.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
He's a dangerous man.
One dangerous dude.
But I was bad to the bone. Bad to the bone.
Oh, I'm bad. I'm nationwide.
What plan is no plan.
Are you kidding me, Chico?
The most dangerous person on the internet is...
is one dangerous dude.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
I'm a bad, bad man. I'm a...
Yeah, you're damn right he is.
Hi, everyone. It's Dave. Once again, we are on Turnbuckle Trash, and we are joined, I'm so glad to say, by Mr. Otto Von Klutsch, independent wrestler. Otto, thanks for being with us on the Trash today.
Thank you for having me. This is Trash, and we're having a good time. It is Otto Von Klutsch, and let's dive into this interview.
Hey, you know what? You and I met a little bit over a year ago. In Salt Lake City, but you probably don't remember this because I was at a Devotion Championship Wrestling event that you were at, and when I got there for the event, Manny Lemons comes up to me, and Manny and our friends, and he said, you know, man, we got a problem. Our ringside announcer isn't here. Can you fill in? So, you know, having a little radio background that I did, I jumped into the chance to do some ringside announcing because I've done it before in Louisiana, and it's just a lot of fun to do, but I was injured. I had just had surgery on my wrist, and it was all bandaged up and just looked horrible, and so I just sat on the side of the ring and introduced you guys. So you come out for your match, and you do a great job. I was really impressed, and then Tombstone Jesus is in a match, and you storm out of the locker room, and you grab the microphone out of my hand, scared the ever-living mess out of me, because I didn't expect it. And yeah, you're a big guy, man. How big are you?
6'2", and I'm barefoot. I wrestle barefoot, so I'm 6'2", barefoot. So imagine, you know, when I go to the big companies and throw on some boots, I'm going to be a couple extra inches taller because a lot of those boots have 2-inch lifts, 3-inch lifts. So, I mean, but yeah, I'm 6'2". But hey, I do that actually. That night I wrestled Pineapple Tom Chad.
That's right. And,
it really kind of dawned on me that Tombstone Jesus, like, I knew that my dad was out there, and I knew that he was here in Utah over there in Salt Lake, and I now remember, because it's funny, because I remember everyone that I meet,
uh-huh.
And the reason I don't remember you quite well is because you weren't in the ring, I guess,
right?
Like a traditional ring announcer, and it was just your first night, and that's awesome that, you know, we're able to adapt, and thank you for your service, man. Thank you for being our ring announcer at Devotion Championship Wrestling for one night. That's awesome.
Yeah, you know, with this pandemic, I had hoped to be able to do some more with them. But, you know, now that the pandemic is starting to kind of end, you know, maybe we can get back together. I plan to come to the event in May and to bring my partner, Zane, with me, who lives in Manti, Utah. So okay. when we do our show, you know, I'm in Logan, he's in Manti, and then we also have a guy that joins us in North Carolina, and now you're in Las Vegas. So, you know, we're everywhere in Turnbuckle Trashland. So appreciate it, man. We really do.
No problem, man.
Hey, Otto, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your background in athletics. I mean, you're a big guy. Not only are you, a little bit taller than me, I'm 6'1", you're at 6'2", but you're put together, dude. I mean, you're a big dude.
Yeah, man. There was a time where, I'll break it down, I was in really good shape for a while, and then I kind of got out of shape a little bit. I was just kind of, you know, taking care of family, and I was living with my grandmother. She was like, you know, 98 years old, taking care of her. And so she was like, you can't be wrestling these big guys. You got to get bigger. So she's feeding me like literally cornbread and roast. And, like, all these, every day after training, and she just keeps feeding me, and it does the complete opposite, man. I just start getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I was at, like, I think this was, like, maybe right after my WWE tryout in 2018. I got to, like, 235, almost 230. Now I'm back down to 215. I feel fucking way better. And, you know, I just lost that weight again and just got back and doing my thing, but... Yeah, man, I fluctuate in weight, but yes, very athletic. I've always surfed my life, surfing, skateboarding. I'm an avid hiker. I love going hiking and just taking the long, long, like, I'm talking like 20-mile hikes, 10 miles in, 10 miles back. I love doing that type of stuff. I started working out at a younger age. My dad, he would take me to the gym. He would take me to the Gold's Gym in St. George, Utah.
Uh-huh.
He would take me there when I was about, maybe I started going when I was 12. And, man, when I was, like, by the time I was 14, he had me bench pressing 225.
Whoa.
And I was really impressed. Like, for my as a young man, being able to lift 225 pounds as a young kid, that's exciting, you know. And then I just kind of, like, when I moved back to California, then I got back into surfing, kind of got off of the weights, just a lot of aerobics and a lot of cardio. That's, like, my focus in training is working on my legs. I want to have very strong legs. In wrestling, it's very important to have strong legs because your legs are what's keeping everything going. You know what I mean? Your legs don't break down.
Yeah, so you got this surfing background, and you come to the ring. When I've seen you, you come to the ring with a wetsuit on. Does that cause you to sweat a lot when you're in the ring?
Absolutely. And I mean, I'll just break it down. You got to be real with yourself. There was, you know, I would wear board shorts when I was in better shape. And then when I wasn't in best shape, I would wear the wetsuit. And then when I got back into shape, people like the wetsuit.
Yeah.
Fans, I get more of a response wearing a wetsuit. Like when I'm wearing board shorts, people like it. They get it. They're just another guy though in a pair of swim trunks. I feel like the wetsuit can't think of the word, it's too early.
Yeah.
It just kind of sets me apart. From the other competition, I'm wearing a wetsuit. Yes, it's extremely hot. Some of my wetsuits that I've wrestled in, I have probably 10 different wetsuits. One of my most famous wetsuits, I would say, because I would always go on the road with like just all the time, and it was a four millimeter, which is extremely thick. I mean, 4 millimeters is a thick wetsuit. And by the time I go up there and hit the ropes, my dance, it's good. You feel blown up. get that, like, oh, you get that wind kind of out of you before the match even starts. So then you calm down, you feel good. Like, me, my body, I feel like it's actually wearing a wetsuit, I know, has helped me and prevented me from having any injuries, because it's just this protection on your body. It's this body suit. You know what I mean? Like, people chop me all the time with the wetsuit. They're just like, how do you want? I mean, I'm not going to sell that. That's not, it doesn't hurt me, man. Tombstone always wants to chop me. That does not hurt. You want to chop me, take the wetsuit off and chop me. That's just the way it is. It's body armor. I feel like D'Lo Brown a little bit with this chest protector. You know what I mean? D'Lo Brown, there, you have that. And this is my bodysuit, man. I love having the wetsuit.
Now, and you mentioned D'Lo Brown. Does he still live in Las Vegas and work at the club there?
Yeah, actually, I did some technically, I'm still training at FSW here in Las Vegas, training with Sin Bodhi. Sin Bodhi runs classes on Mondays and Tuesdays. That was really my whole interest. But then once I got there, I learned that there are other people there. But D'Lo Brown, I believe he only does classes maybe once a month if he does. I haven't seen him since I've been there personally. But I've been, seeing Sin Bodhi, and I love being able to pick Sin Bodhi's brain. He's an amazing worker, and he really gives back to so much talent. Like, that guy is just so dedicated, and just breaks down and lets your mind comprehend what he's telling.
Well, let's talk about your background in professional wrestling. What got you interested in becoming a pro wrestler? Was it you were a fan, or you just loved the athletic ability?
Well, I mean, I would say I would sit here and tell you all, I'd be lying if I wasn't a fan, because everyone's a fan. But after being in trainings and things, I've learned that there's some people that get in this business that have never even watched wrestling. Aww. So, but me personally, yes, I love wrestling. I've watched it my entire life, yada, yada, yada. We all, we all feel that. What got me into it was, it's a business. You know what I mean? I wanted to learn about this business. I come from a pretty, blue collar background, construction, from the age of 16, I graduated school young and went on and did, construction. I had a thing for myself at a young age. My parents got divorced. I was on my own when I was 15 years old. They were gone. One was in rehab and the other one was off with their man. So basically, I've always had this business mentality through construction. I feel like construction, and I've never even told this on any podcast, and I've been on about 100 podcasts. Construction has helped me so much with professional wrestling. Just being a construction worker, because you learn business, you learn how to be a man or a tough-ass woman, and you learn just how to break things down, build things, because there's so much, we're tearing down rings, we're bringing, tearing down sets or whatnot, building sets. Yes, sir. With construction has helped me with just the business aspect. So, got me into it was just wanting to follow my dreams, and year after year kept going by, and I'm 24 years old and I'm down in San Diego, watching a Tommy Dreamer House of Hardcore show. I remember the tickets cost like $500. Wow. The hotel rooms for that night cost $650 for the Harris Hotel.
Yeah.
I took my girlfriend at the time, that's now my wife, I took her with me there. And, of course, Rikishi, everyone was there, man. I could sit here and name of people, but that card was so stacked. Young Bucks, Hardy Boys, SC, everyone that you could imagine was there. Adam Pearce, King Mo. And so Rikishi was at the table, and I went over to Rikishi. I knew he had a wrestling school because I went to a couple of his shows prior, before the House of Hardcore. And so I went to his table finally and just confronted him and said, hey, I really want to get into this business. And he looked at me and he says, how old are you? I said, 24. He says, oh, you're just a puppy. He says, come on down to Knox Pro, in Sun Valley, California at the time. Now it's in Van Nuys. And he says, just come on down. So I came down and met, Reno on Hawaii, and Rikishi and Gangrel was there at the time, and signed up, man. And freaking out, Rikishi would say, it's in me now. It's like I'm addicted. No matter what, you always got to get that fix of getting in that ring and entertaining the crowd. So my train started in 2014 of June, literally just a few days out after House of Hardcore. And started training. And I tell you what, their trainings were intense. We would train Mondays, Wednesdays, Friday mornings, and then Sundays. Wow. And my goodness, we would go, there'd be 4-hour classes. Like, you would get in there and you would do, you know, with Gangrel or really anyone would be doing, you know, 50 squats to 100 squats. If you didn't do little things like, you know, wipe your feet before you got in the ring, oh, go do 54 squats, or, oh, you're late. I mean, granted, I try never to be late, but if you were late 500 squats, it was very disciplined. Learn to respect the business. Because how Rikishi says, and this goes for anyone listening, any young independent wrestlers, it only takes a few seconds to end your career, to get paralyzed. This is no game. You know, when you step in that ring, you better not think about anything else going on. I don't care if your girlfriend just broke up with you, dog died, grandma says she never wants to talk to you again, whatever happened, you can't even worry about that, man. You got to focus on what's in front of you, what's in the ring. You're taking care of your opponent. You know what I mean? If I'm tired or if I'm not in the game, you know, just learning, you know, my basic few months into training, if I'm not focused and I'm doing a body slam, I just drop that guy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So we have to take this very seriously. I hope everyone takes their training serious, because I definitely learned from them to take training serious. And so through that, they navigated me through the waters. And before you know it, probably about a month into my training, I started doing shows. I was a host. I hosted the entire show, a Knoxville show, my first time. Like, my debut was being a host. I totally botched everything. It was awful. Everyone's name got wrong. A couple guys actually quit after that because they were so pissed that this new guy came in and just botched people's names. I called one guy Stingray McCray. I don't even know where that came from. A lot of people don't realize this, and this is another thing. I'm going to just throw it out there and let the world know. I mean, I think I might have told a podcast, but, you know, I'm a sight reader. After a while, I'm not the best reader. You know what I mean? I'm a dyslexic. I see things, and things get all crazy. You know, I'm a very intelligent person, but just reading is difficult for me sometimes. And so, like, I had a list. They gave me a huge list of all these names, and I didn't know how to smarten myself up and go around and talk to everyone and just familiarize myself. I just was nervous, you know what I mean? I didn't get it. I was green. And so, but, man, I tell you, Knox Pro is that definitely taught me how to work on the fly. Like, kind of how you showed up to devotion, and here you are. You're ready to go. Yeah, I can do that. That's probably 40 years of being in the radio. It's what we do. We know how to turn it on. Like, we got to go. We got to go. Like, you know what I mean? So that's kind of how the journey started, though, was at Knox Pro Academy. They're still open.
And you mentioned names. You were Rikishi, and then Tommy Dreamer, and then Gangrel, and you're talking Sim Bodhi. You've met some of the real legends in this business, and that's got to be kind of cool, man.
My man, like, access, opportunity, exposure. I mean, I've met so many people, and on top of that, I've been able to do, you know, I've had my WWE tryout. I've also done, you know, private work for WWE. They had me, you know, do other things that wasn't wrestling related or construction related. So that was really cool that I was able to go do that for them and make some really good money. And really a shout out to TMD. Guy at TMD got me that gig with WWE with some labor work. So I appreciate that, my man.
That's all right. You talked about your tryout with the WWE. Was that at the training center, or was it at a house show, or what was it?
And I called a tryout, and it wasn't a tryout. Anyone that was there would tell you it wasn't a tryout. It was extra work. I did extra work.
Oh, okay.
I guess a tryout would be going to the PC and doing the tryout. That's a tryout. I was an extra. I did, we did Saturday night's NXT, Sunday night's Survivor Series, Monday Night Raw, and Tuesday night SmackDown at the Staples Center. We had that opportunity to be there for 4 nights. I believe it was on Monday Night Raw. They actually, you know, picked. Because what you're doing is you show up to a WWE tryout. This is basically what happens. You got to do a whole bunch of blood work, tons and tons of blood work. And then you show up to the arena at 10 o'clock in the morning. And there'll be food there. You show up and you'll meet, you know, with the producers, the executives of the company. They'll introduce themselves to you and basically tell you, hey, go get yourself. This is the catering room. Please eat yourself some breakfast. Have breakfast. There'll be lunch later on. And then meet us by the ring in 30 minutes. And then you'll go by the ring for 30 minutes and you can watch some people, you know, warm up and whatnot. And then, boom, you go back to catering. And then that's basically your whole day is just doing catering the one time by the ring for 30 minutes. and then just chilling and catering, and then producers walking around and looking who they have. I mean, there was probably 40 extras there that day. I mean, everyone from people from Eric Watts, Eli Everfly, to, you know, just the whole Knox Pro. There was a lot of Brian Kendrick students, a lot of Rikishi students. There were students from EWF. There were students from all over SoCal. And so they would just pick certain people for different roles, you know, and I'll just call it as it was. People that are short, you know, if you're a little shorter, you can pick for a lot of roles. Things like that, you know, because they don't, you realize you go inside there and you're like, I'm taller than everyone there. I'm taller than Seth Rollins. I'm tall. You're looking at everyone. They're just, you're like, wow. It's like television makes everyone look so much taller than they are. Then you see these people and see these, you know, your colleagues in person. Some aren't as tall and some are freaking huge. You're like, holy crap, Mark Henry is massive or Big Show or whatever. You know, Shane McMahon's a tall man. You know, that dude ain't short. He's a tall dude. So that was pretty cool. Got to be able to meet Shane McMahon with Rikishi and, you know, the entire crew. And so went from there. And so basically the WWE try, you go there and you go to, you know, catering, hang out, do some extra work. On Monday night, I was able to do some extra work with a segment with Dean Ambrose, who's in the back in the kind of like the loading dock area. Seth Rollins was looking for him throughout the whole night. Finally, Seth Rollins comes through. Where is he at? You know, he looks at me, asks me where he's at. I'm supposed to shrug my shoulders. And actually, here's another insight. I wasn't supposed to have a line. Uh-huh. They didn't give me a line. But then once the guy comes up to me and he's like, hey, where's he at? I had to say something. I'm not going to just sit there and just be like, it looks so silly. So I just said it. I said, I don't know. I don't know where he's at. I just gave him a dirty sneak look. And I wasn't supposed to, but they didn't say nothing. They were actually happy. I think Adam Pearce came back and was like, Vince loved the second guys. And another thing was, not a lot of guys going to be live. Like, a lot of stuff's pre-taped. So it was like an adrenaline rush being live on the USA Network and seeing how that works and seeing that, you know, monster. Everyone, all these producers and camera guys, the guy holding this cord, someone taking down cords over here. There's so much. There's just so much going on, you know, filming that television show. So that was such a great opportunity, and I thank Knox Pro for that opportunity.
Well, you know, I might have seen that very show you were talking about, because I remember I remember that kind of segment, because I'm a big fan of all professional wrestling, the indies, yes, and everything, man. And I remember watching one night, and I think it was right after Survivor Series, and I see Eric Watts in the background. And I've watched Eric, you know, since the time he was on the Tough Enough show, and watched him on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood and all kinds of stuff. And I remember seeing him. And then when you're talking about that little extra work, you never know how that's going to work out for you, because Tommaso Ciampa did a role where he didn't have a beard. He played a lawyer or a psychologist or something in the ring. And now look at him. He's a huge star in NXT.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm not bagging on being an extra, because there's so many guys. And I mean, like, I apologize if I was giving shorties a hard time. It's just like there's so many guys and women that have been extras. And then you see them maybe 5 years down the road. This business is about growing. That's one thing about this business, is about growth. Like, and I've said it on a podcast, so I try to always, every time I go on a podcast, I try to do things that I've never done before, and it's getting difficult because now we're getting so deep into doing these.
Right.
But really, another way to dive into something that people don't know about is that you just got to grow in this business. And I'm so happy that in 2018 I wasn't signed by WWE, because it's like now, after, you know, the opportunity that being able to, you know, learn under Vince Russo, under his writing, and seeing how he writes, and being able to be backstage with Vince Russo and learning from him, and learning from Manny, and learning from Devotion Championship Wrestling, has helped me a lot. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I got to give it to them, man. They really have. Like, it's a great organization in, you know, Salt Lake City area, as, you know, your listeners and you know. It just has really helped so many talented guys, and people come through there. A lot of people, you know, like, sometimes they'll come through and leave, and that's just the way it is. Like, it's like a river. You have this river, and you're going to have little fish that are going to stop in this river, and they're going to just sit there, and they're going to bloom. I feel like a lot of people have been able to plant their seed and learn to be able to have this platform of being on Fight TV every Thursday, you know, at 5 p.m. Mountain Time. And just it's just really good.
Well, let's talk a little bit about a new training facility that you've been talking about on your Facebook page, Super Beast Training. Tell us about Super Beast Training.
Yes, the Super Beast Training compound is awesome. It's run by Super Beast, which is a professional wrestler. You've probably seen him on Hood Slam. Most recently, he's been doing a lot of GCW. He's on Bloodsport, Josh Barnett's Bloodsport. That's also coming up again. I mean, this guy, I tell you what, I've known Super Beast for probably a few years now. Me and him had the opportunity with Knox Pro, me and him teamed up with Reno Scum to go against like the whole Samoan Dynasty one night. And we worked together and been on a lot of the same cards. And this guy, I tell you, is someone that you want to be around. Someone that just motivates you to be a better person. Like, this guy is just like contagious. Like, you want to be around him just because of like his work ethic. And so that's something I really think for, you know, kind of just teaching me more about the business aspect. So yes, he has a wrestling training compound. It's like a private gym, basically, for the elite athletes. And our head trainer is Dark Sheik. She is a talented individual. She is the creator of Hood Slam. She was the owner of Hood Slam. And so she's down here doing this and training us. And I'm teaching some of the young kids. And we're just grinding, man, and just have our own ring and just kind of making our own path. We all have busy schedules with different shows, and so now we kind of make our own training schedule. Every day is training day, and so when we're not on the road, I'm over at the compound just training, man, and this past week has been excellent and just a lot of growth, and we got a guy there, Cal Jax. I mean, he's been training, you know, he's a good friend of Super Beast, and he's another guy. He's from NXT, future Olympic athlete, you know what I mean? So there's premier athletes all around. A young kid, his name's Stuntman. He's a kid to watch out for. He's only been in training for just a couple of trainings, and this kid, I'm telling you, man, he might be like a Kurt Angle type of thing. This kid is phenomenal. Like, he's just doing everything so quickly, and he's learning, and he's moving along really fast. So a lot of growth at this training compound. And if you want to join the Super Beast Training Compound, you got to contact Dark Sheik for the wrestling aspect. If you want to come and train to be a wrestler, contact Dark Sheik. Or you can contact me, and I'll get you in contact with her. Hearing you great, boss.
Okay, there I go. I was going to give you a little compliment here, and I want to give you this compliment, but I'm not trying to undersell what people are just starting. You can tell when somebody's had a couple of years of training as opposed to somebody who's just basically starting off. I noticed the first time I ever saw you how hard you hit. I mean, you are a hard hitter when you're in the ring, and how crisp your moves are. And I was really impressed the first time I saw you. And I know that that's got to be hard to understand when somebody doesn't, not a big fan like I am of professional wrestling, to see that little bit of a difference between selling a move and also taking a big hit. And that's a real art, and you're really learning that very well, man.
That is my most important thing I can take away. Like, my psychology, I'm still getting there. There's things I'm still learning. We're all learning. Every day you're learning. That's one thing I take my most pride in, though. My most pride is I want someone that is, they're sitting at home watching Fight TV with their loved one, boyfriend, or just tuning in. They might be an MMA fan. They might be a fan of whatever other program they have on there. Or someone that's coming to a live event. My main goal is this, and let everyone hear this, because people might think I'm super stiff or whatever. Any opponent I work with, we talk about it. We'll say sorry later. Number two, I want people to watch this. It's, you know, wrestling is real. I don't care what people say. Wrestling is real. The pain that we feel hitting that 2x4s every night, those plywood, hitting those ropes, either if it's the hemp ropes or if it's the freaking, you know, the hard wires. Our body's going against steel, man. Yeah, I'll let anyone come down wherever. I mean, go to any wrestling school. Just go take a freaking bump in a ring. Or just how, you know, Disco Inferno says, just go in the living room and just fall on your back a couple of times throughout the month. That's how you're going to feel. You're going to feel like a pro wrestler. That's how we feel, you know what I mean? You've got to condition your body. So I want everything to go back. I'm a broken rail this morning. I'm all over the place. But go back to my point. I want my stuff crisp. I want my stuff to look snug. I want people to watch this and be like, whoa, I thought wrestling, I didn't know they hit each other. Oh, they hit each other? Oh, whoa. Wait, are these guys really fighting? Like, I want that. That's what I'm driving for. And the more that people think that's what's happening, the better it is. I don't care if it's in the back or in the locker room. I'm not wrestling for the people in the back. I'm wrestling for the people in the audience. That's who I care about, my audience. I don't care about, you know, people want to talk this. We don't know shit until you go out there. Until you go to your audience, you don't know what's going to happen. So how can I sit here and say, oh, this and this and that and this and that and this? You don't know crap. Go out there, listen to the fans, and go fight. Go and entertain. Go do your job. And that's what I strive to do. I want to be, go down in history as a bruiser, strong style. You know, before the pandemic, I was contacted by New Japan, and I sent out my information to them, and I'm still, you know, seeing what's going to happen there with the whole, you know, everything going on. It's been kind of crazy. But I see myself going to Japan or going to the UK. I know I can hang with those guys. You know what I mean? I know I can go. So it is what it is. I take pride in hitting hard.
Well, you really do that, man. I'm impressed when you're in the ring. And I got to do one thing because when you and I were setting up this interview, I know you've had a program running with your dad, Tombstone Jesus. And I contacted Tombstone yesterday, or now as he's known, Tombstone Judas. And I said, is there anything you want to say to your son? And Tombstone said, yeah, tell him I hate him. So
that's it.
I love you guys, man. I really do. And that night you cut that promo right in front of me, I could feel the emotion in your voice. You did a great job.
Hey, man, it's real emotion. You know what I mean? You just got to go to it. Mm-hmm. And this guy has just been so bad. He's done so bad to my family. He's treated my mother like shit. You know what I mean? He just left at a young age. When I'm 3 years old, he just goes and takes off, goes to freaking Southern Utah. There's that picture that he has when he was in L.A., 98 or in 89, and see, I always like to go see. I told you I'm dyslexic. I say 98 all the time, but it's 89.
Uh-huh.
I was 90, and so Tombstone just, you know, he's been a piece of crap, and every single week, go watch the backstory. I mean, there's probably 20 matches now of me and him, and none of them are easy to watch. It's hard hitting. You got this guy. Think about it. Tombstone is the scum of the earth. This guy, you know, he might be used to be a good guy, but now we've all seen who he is. He's a bad guy. He's a smelly, smelly bad guy. Take a shower, Dad. Do the locker room a favor. Take a shower. Brush your teeth. I hate you. I hate that man.
And you've got payment due coming back.
Mother, I got over $50,000 back pay child support. Grant, he did buy me some really nice presents. Bought me a nice wallet for Christmas. It had no money in it, but he got me a really nice leather wallet, which was kind of ironic, I would say. The irony in that, you know what I mean? Like, who does that? Who knows? That just shows you what kind of sick man this guy is. He got me a nice custom wallet that said Son OVC. So he obviously admitted that he is my, you know, my father. And it just disgusts me, you know? Everything he does just kind of gets me feeling sick. My stomach just kind of gets knots in it. Every time I think about Tombstone, I just kind of want to vomit. Not gonna lie.
Hey, you know me and Tombstone, but I tell you one thing: you've got a great future ahead of you, and I'm really impressed. Especially the first time I saw you in the ring, I was going, "This dude is going to be going someplace." So tell us where you are hoping to go. You mentioned New Japan, but what's in the near future for you right now, man?
Man, I tell you what's in the near future. I mean, just life, bro. It's so crazy. Like, I have goosebumps. Like, my entire body has goosebumps right now. It's just, you don't know what's going to happen. At any moment, they're always watching. I'm ready to go. You know what I mean? I've never been more ready than now. And you know, if more months go by, I'm just going to keep getting more and more ready because there's no stopping. What's going to happen is you're going to see Audubon Clutch guaranteed. I guarantee you this, mark my words, you're going to see me in some major promotion in some sort of capacity. You know, we'll see which one that's going to be. If it's AEW, if it's WWE, if it's NXT, whatever it is. I mean, it's just the fans just need to keep being vocal. This is all I need is just the fans being vocal. Every time I've been tuning into Twitter, people are tagging Cody Rhodes, Tony Khan, Mr. McMahon, whatever they're doing the thing, what they got to do. We're out there grinding. So there's so many times where I never knew I would. I never thought from the very beginning in 2014, I never thought I would be able to accomplish this much this soon. From being able to, you know, go and travel the United States on tour with Rikishi and being able to, you know, go to Hawaii and wrestle in front of a sold out, you know, Oceanade and just doing all the amazing things that we've been able to do and places that I've been able to go and faces I've been able to see and people I've been able to touch. And you know, I am a bad guy. You know, I don't like fans, and I apologize to fans that I've been an asshole to, I guess. But you know what? I just don't like a lot of people. I don't. I'm not a people person. I love people, but at the same time, I just don't like them. So that's just who I am. Audubon Clutch is just me, just times a million. And, you know, at the end of the day, I know I'm Adam Sparn, and it is what it is. You know what I mean? Whatever happens, who knows? My name might change. We don't know. We'll see what the future holds. I'm ready for anything, man, literally anything. Whatever character, whatever needs to be done, I'm willing to do it. And I'll do it to my best of my abilities and probably the best of anyone's ability. I know I can get the best promo. And actually, on that note, I am setting a Guinness World Record for the world's longest professional wrestling promo, which will go 12 hours long. Whoa. That's right. I'm cutting a promo for 12 hours long. I set this record, and like I sent in the information, filled out the application for the Guinness, and once I actually did it, I'm like, wow, this is going to be 12 hours long. So yeah, get ready, folks. We're going to have a 12-hour-long wrestling promo.
Whoa, I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to have to listen an hour at a time probably, but I would really like that, man. That's cool.
Exactly. I'm really going to be structuring how to – you know, do this 12 hours long. I mean, it's going to be insane.
Yeah. And you're going to have to do some stuff about Tombstone in there. I guarantee you'll be doing some Tombstone Jesus stuff. So, hey, Otto, I wanted to thank you so much for joining us on Turnbuckle Trash. And I hope to see you in May when I'm down at Devotion Championship Wrestling. And we'll get to meet, even though you don't like people. I think you and I will get along okay.
Maybe. Absolutely. Thank you so much for this opportunity, guys. Check out Devotion Championship Wrestling every single Thursday on Fight TV. You can also catch it on YouTube. Also, you can catch Audubon Clutch. Just follow me on all my platforms. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter is under Audubon Clutch. Thank you guys so much for listening, and thank you for having me. I appreciate you.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Wrestling was an essential service.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Pro yes! Wrestling from a fan's yes! perspective.
Correct!
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being.
Well, if you want a rematch, you aren't getting one.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
That's 36 cents I didn't have a day before, though.
I hear you, bub.
You can't be wrestling these big guys. You gotta get bigger. I'm taller than everyone there.
So WWE had a pay-per-view.
Really? Really? Wow!
24-7, 48-7, 7-11, I-95 South European TV Championship.
Take a shower, Dad. Do the locker room a favor. Take a shower.
It was lacking in purpose.
Every time I think about Tombstone, I just kind of want to vomit. Not going to lie.
Well, you know why they didn't keep the belt on The Miz? Do you really know why? Do you want to know why?
Because of Bad Bunny.
Because of Bad Bunny. Dave Denton's philosophy of life.
Well, that's completely irrelevant to anything we're talking about, Dave. Eh?